Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room.
You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. Today, we have the pleasure of being joined by my beautiful daughter, Madison. Madison, welcome.
Hello. Glad to be back once again. Always glad.
Welcome back. How's your summer going?
It's going pretty good. I mean, we just got back from a great trip in Jamaica. Shout out to Gigi. Love you.
Thank you, Gigi. We'll talk about Jamaica later on. But we were talking earlier that this is the first summer that you have not actually been at summer camp.
Yeah, and this is the first time that I've really been able to celebrate my birthday, where it's been only for me, you know? Because every time that I was at camp, I had a birthday twin or triplet.
Of course.
Sometimes quadruplet, depending on the year.
Right.
But it was never only me. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess people were getting it on in November, but...
I guess so. And so you don't... You would rather not... You would rather just have some... Your birthday be about you.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing fucking wrong with that. Have you... You haven't seen Vanderpump Rules yet, but Stassi Schroeder is, like... infamous for saying, it's my fucking birthday. So me and Lauren, your aunt, always say that. It's my fucking birthday.
I love that. I love Stassi.
I know.
I've seen her in the later seasons.
Same. So how was it? How was it having your first birthday all to yourself?
Beautiful. It was wonderful. I felt very special. And, I also didn't feel any pressure to have to do something because this past year while I was at camp, I aligned my day off with my birthday. And even though I was exhausted from camp and honestly just wanted to relax, I still... Actually, I did end up doing that. I fell asleep really early that night. But I still came out and spent the day with you and Gigi and Jackson.
Oh, I forgot about that because it was your 18th. It was a big one. We drove to Jackson, and we went and got food or something, and we went shopping, right?
Yeah. And I don't remember. That might have been when I got my
That's when you
purse.
Got that bag. Yeah. That's when you got that bag.
Yeah.
That makes sense now.
It was a good time, but I was so tired.
We were trying to determine when Madison got this beautiful, tiny Michael Kors bag, and she said I got it for her, and I was totally down to take the credit, but I was like, I don't remember doing that. So it was on your birthday. Yeah. Gigi got it for you.
Yes, now I remember. I'm pretty sure y'all had also gotten me some things for graduation, though, and that's what I had initially accounted it for.
Okay.
Or, that's not the right word.
Allotted?
Attributed to.
Attributed to.
Yeah.
That works.
That works.
Let's go with that.
Okay,
so we just got back from Jamaica, which was your birthday trip. Had a great time. We'll talk about that more a little later. I have quite the summer. I've never gotten to do this before, and by this I mean travel so much. Like, I traveled more than I've ever traveled in my entire fucking life.
Good for you.
Thank you. I just started, like, kind of booking stuff. I just kind of started booking stuff, and then I was like, oh no, I've booked far too many trips. Like, I had Vegas twice, then I went to London for a week, then I went to Jamaica for a week.
Yeah.
Or I went to the UK for a week. Well, that is a lot. All in the amount of, like, a month.
Yeah. I feel like you were definitely gone more than you were here.
I agree, and I've never done that before. And I started reflecting on that. And, like, okay, so you were born when I was 16, right? And when you're a teenager, you do what your parents want in terms of, like, trips or what, basically everything, right? All right, so whenever babies are born, you do whatever they want. So, like, this was the first, like, it was your first summer, like, going from camp. It was, like, kind of like my first summer away from mom camp. Like, it was, like, I was, like, oh, my gosh, I get to actually do what I want to do. Is this allowed? Am I allowed to do this? And honestly, we've talked to, like, lots of people that I know growing up went to, like, Cancun, went to Mexico, Jamaica,
yeah.
went to all these places, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we went to, like, Disney World when I was young and stuff, but seriously, when you were born, you take the precedence, so it, like, just kind of changes everything. So, it was just so cool to actually go on vacations just for myself. That, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then Jamaica was the first trip that you and I had.
I didn't even realize that either until you were like, this is the first trip that me and you have ever taken just us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, how could that be true?
But it is.
And also, we've never lived together without anyone else around. And this, we are going to live together. So this is, it feels cool, right?
Yes, yeah.
I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to do that much traveling, honestly. After I had all these trips books, these trip book, these tri- after I had all of these trips booked, I was looking at my calendar. I was like, oh man, I've never done this before. I've never traveled this closely together so quickly. I basically was living out of a suitcase for a month. And you know how much I like my comfort and my routine, and
yes,
I am, like, I almost, it, even though I'm not agoraphobic, but, like, I, for a while, didn't want to leave the house. I was fucking scared. I just didn't feel safe, and just because I didn't know how to maneuver the city, and it's just, it's overwhelming.
There's a lot going on at all times.
Yes.
It can be a lot.
It is a lot, and there's scooters, and they don't have helmets on, and so I'm scared for their lives.
Yeah, I've been taken out, almost been taken out a couple times by the little scooters on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I did see one guy, like, fully
like face
wipe
plant?
Out. Yeah.
Whew. I'm talking about the guys, not those scooters. I'm talking about the little, like, Vespas almost. There's lots of those Vespas. Lots of, like,
European.
Very European, and they don't wear helmets. And they also don't obey traffic laws.
Oh, it's infuriating, honestly.
You know, also thing, I mean, I've talked about this at length, I'm sure, prior, but no one uses their blinker. No one uses their damn blinker.
It's a big pet peeve of mine.
And honestly, you show you're outside, you're an outsider if you use your blinker. I'm not kidding.
Because it's so rare, though, I really appreciate it when someone does.
What, use their blinker?
Yeah.
Same. I wish I could give them, like, a hug or something.
Yeah, a little
some
virtual hug.
Something positive reinforcement.
I wish I could be, like, on Waze.
Like a heart.
How you can
thumbs up
other drivers. I wish you could do that, but it would just, like, pop up.
That would be cool, actually. Kind of like
cool.
Super Mario a little
bit.
But you throw love instead of banana peels. So even though I lived out of a suitcase for a month, even though I traveled like a mad woman, I thought I was going to have a lot of anxiety and panic attacks, but I didn't at all. I actually fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend everyone taking a solo trip by themselves. Obviously, be safe about it, because that was another. I was, like, kind of honestly scared I was gonna get taken, just a little bit. Like, and I'm like, Liam Neeson, come save me. I've been taken. I need your set of particular skills. Oh, your particular set of skills to come save me, because I've been taken. But I didn't want to, like, put that out into the universe before going.
Honestly, though, I feel that way, like, every time I get into an Uber.
Yeah.
Feel like they're somehow going to be end up sex trafficking me. Especially in the Uber that you and I got into for Jamaica.
The Uber? We didn't have
towards
Uber.
The airport. We got into an Uber.
Here?
Yeah, it's when we went to Jamaica to the airport.
The girl?
Yeah.
Yes.
At first, she was setting off a lot of red flags because, trying to connect us with people there and just telling us a lot of different places to go and like where to, the hot spots. And initially, we were pretty wary of that.
Yeah. I was like getting like, oh my God. When she said, oh, I have someone I can hook you up with, I'm like, oh no, this is the beginning of a Taken 4.
Yeah.
You know? And it was a woman, so she's like, and she also like talked like island talk when she goes, I got some girls for you, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Oh my God. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be doing that, bitch. But then she actually was super nice.
Yeah, and she pulled up pictures from all of her trips, and we could see on her iPad all of the places she had gone. So it seemed way more legit than it had initially.
I totally agree. Okay, so back to how I spent my summer. The first Vegas trip was great. I was really surprised by how much the time change affected me. It's a 3-hour difference from Miami to Las Vegas. I did not realize that Vegas was in the Pacific time zone, which is fucking California, basically.
Yeah.
Messed up my sleep. And I had a hard time recovering.
Yes.
I went to Vegas with my brother and my sister. We saw the Beatles Love, which was really good because it was closing. It's closing, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Went to the spa. Ate some wonderful food. It was a great time. The second trip to Vegas was also really fucking fun. The Sphere was cool. Okay, I went with my friend Natalie and Aaron. I would not get floor seats the next time, though. Because it's a dome, right? So you have to be looking up. You're literally craning your fucking neck. And I shit you not, I had to go to the spa first thing in the morning to go get them to work on my neck.
Is that where your neck problem originated, do you think?
No. No, I don't think so. So, in my life, before I've gotten, like, those stingers, do you know what I'm talking about? Where you turn your head too quickly and it, like, stings in the back?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten that?
Like a crick in your neck?
Yeah,
like,
but it's almost really painful.
Yeah,
it's
like
pretty
sharp pain.
Yeah, and it, like, shoots. But that was the extent of it. I was actually doing a fucking video for the podcast, one of my silly dance videos that I haven't really done in a while, but I guess I should get back. I don't know if it's out of commission. But I was doing this thing. I got that new chair. It, like, turns all the way around.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I play with this? So I was fucking, like, turning myself all around. And I was trying to do the thing in the Beyonce video in Formation where she's leaning out of the Cadillac like this and her hair is all down like this. Like this. Okay, and I'm doing it, but I came up while I'm still turning, and I fucking, like, something happened to my neck.
Oh.
I know. And it was on video. It's on the video that I posted on Instagram. So, if you're feeling like you need a laugh, go see it, because it's literally how I hurt my neck.
Real pain, not scripted.
That was real. So I think that's how it started. And then also, like, not knowing how to properly, like, where to put my shoulders because I'm so fucking hypermobile and double jointed or whatever.
Yeah.
When I started working out, I was really unclear of how to lift the weights. And so it was almost, I was almost overcompensating with my neck in a way. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And, I think people also just get older, and
yeah.
I mean, sometimes you sneeze the wrong way and your back hurts.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that happen? Your young body.
My body isn't that young. It doesn't seem to be. I was talking about this earlier. I feel like an old woman sometimes because it's already falling apart.
So the neck pain kind of was a hindrance.
I can't imagine.
But I pushed through. My flight back, though, did get delayed by 8 fucking hours. I was so, like, I have never flown. I flew into Miami at 7 a.m. I was, like, landing at 7 a.m. Did not sleep very well. And it took some time to get back on a sleep schedule. And,
yeah.
God, and then I went to UK. Oh my gosh. I like cannot even believe I went to the UK. Let me tell you this. I'm so proud of myself for traveling across the fucking world by myself and getting there very successfully.
Me too.
I had no cell service. I had to rely on Wi-Fi, which was pretty much everywhere, but it wasn't everywhere. Like in the streets when you're trying to get around. I took the train when I got there, everywhere. I went to Harrods, got some Dior perfume. Okay, we got to talk about the prices because I only recall paying like £140. That's the estimate for the perfume that I got. But when you looked at the exact same one online, it was like, how much?
It's in the $400 to $700 region. I've found several different ones like on eBay and on the Dior website. Unfortunately, they don't list the prices on the Dior website, which I don't really understand. I don't understand like how people are supposed to, I don't know. But I guess if you're rich enough, then you don't even think about it. But it was definitely several $100 compared to your $100, $200.
Well, so that makes the trip worth it.
Yeah, I need to go back with you next time just so I can get the oud something. I forget what the second word is. I have a picture of it.
We'll find it. We'll find it. I mean, there's nothing better than having like a great scent. It's like such an important part of your self-expression, I feel. I totally agree.
Yeah. It smells so clean, and fresh and musky, but still feminine.
You're selling it right now. So definitely recommend a fucking solo trip. You get to do exactly what you want without anyone's influence at all. And I've never gone on a trip like that. I've realized that I always let other people's wants and desires and whatever they want to do just lead. And I'm like, it was so nice to just do whatever the fuck I wanted to do. Like when I got into London, I'd flown all night, but I really didn't sleep well on the plane. I really did not. I only slept like 2 hours, even though I was in, you know, the British Airways first class. I mean, I'm
sounded really nice.
Honey, it was one of the best experiences of my life.
Can you say they like tucked you in or something?
I mean, she didn't physically tuck me in, but she did turn down my bed for me and she made it for me. And she was just such a sweet lady.
Love that.
I just like want to hang out with them all the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, she just was the fucking best.
Yes, honestly, I feel like everywhere we go, we get along so well with all of the service workers.
I just want to be friends with everybody. Yeah. I feel like people who work in the service industry tend to be outgoing and, like, cool.
My type of people.
Yeah, so we just vibe.
Roger, I don't know if I want to say his name.
We already did. Yeah. Go ahead.
You can edit that out. But this guy in Jamaica, our waiter.
He was a bartender. Excuse me.
Started out as our waiter.
He was the bartender the whole time. He was just taking the orders because we were sitting at the bar.
Oh.
In the bar area.
Okay. Well, our waiter / bartender.
Okay. I feel like in the hierarchy of a restaurant, bartenders are higher.
Okay. That makes sense. I never worked in a restaurant. You know. Our bartender was very nice and took a great big liking to Mom.
He did. He did. Shout out to Roger.
Okay.
No, he was really nice, and we talked about getting a drink, but it just didn't work out because we were there for your birthday trip.
Yeah.
We were there for your birthday trip.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I didn't want you to go off.
Oh, see, I mean, I think I just, on another level, felt the same way. I just didn't want to. I'm like, we'll talk about Jamaica later, though. Let's get through the London, UK shiz.
Stick to the timeline.
Stick to the timeline, man. So, I just had a great fucking time. And I want to go back. And it just, I did so many things that I've never done before. Okay, so after I stayed in London, I took the train to Cheltenham, which is where the retreat is located, and it is located on this fucking gorgeous property. Okay, it's like barn house, Other gorgeous house, pool, yoga studio, like rolling hills as far as the eye can see.
Beautiful.
It was right up your alley. And Gigi. It was right up your and Gigi's alley. I kept saying to myself, oh my gosh, Madison would love this. Oh my gosh, Gigi would love this. So I think we'll all have to go back. There were a few things that were odd. Like, okay, the roads in the countryside are really only one lane, even though there's two ways. So if you see someone coming, you have to pull over. And they have these little divots on the side of the road. It's all just little places you can just pull your car over so the other car can pass. Stressful. Stressful as fuck. You're like, I mean, what if someone comes barreling down around a bend? And like, the reason they can't do that is because all of these farms, all of these properties are laid with this specific kind of stone that's very old, and it's like more like rugged stone rather than like finished stone. And it's like, I'll have to maybe look it up and show you, but it's like very meticulously stacked, and you can't move those.
Yeah.
Those probably been around since
Rockside, if you do.
I don't know what that means, but Rockside?
Rock slide?
What's that?
Like when lots of rocks slide down a hill. It's like a mudslide.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Rock slide.
It's like an avalanche, but with rocks.
That's okay. I see that. How does it start? Just like something happens to just disturb something, yeah. And it just gains momentum?
Yeah, well, if someone pulled one of those rocks, all of the other ones would start falling down.
You'd feel so bad if you did that.
Yeah. I would run. Hide away.
So the first night that we got there, we did this tea ceremony, and we drank this tea. Blue something, blue indigo,
blue lotus.
That was
Egyptian.
That's what they said. They said that this was tea that was drank back from Egypt, and it was used as like a mild hallucinogen.
Yeah.
So we drank tea. We pulled it wasn't a tarot card, but it was a card pulling thing, and you pulled something and it meant something. I have it saved on my phone. I'll read it to you later.
Okay.
So there was a sound bath, but we were in the pool. So the whole thing is that you get the vibrations more because the water is a conductor of the vibrations. I liked it. I was very into it. I couldn't get out of my own head, though, because like my toes kept touching other people. And when I made contact with someone else, it's almost like it was like really jolted me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, should I move my foot? Should I not move my foot? What should I do here? So then I'm like paralyzed by decisions, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then, like, they are taking photos and, like, you know, just from promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't hear the camera click. I have a hard time shutting off my senses, my environment, my scan of the environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was kind of harder for me. It also was the first night, you know, and we were in bathing suits. So I was just, like, a little bit self-conscious. I wasn't self-conscious, but it's like, when you get in front of your bathing suit and you're bathing suit in front of strangers,
it's natural.
It is just a little bit. But I honestly, after that, I felt comfortable.
Good.
After that night, I felt comfortable because
I think it's a good icebreaker.
Everybody in their bathing suit.
In the first night. Because probably everyone's feeling the same way.
Right. And you kind of get we talked about this because in Jamaica, we watched a lot of the Discovery Channel.
Yes,
we almost exclusively watched the Discovery Channel. And I don't know if this was on the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, but Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the people are naked and they're talking normal to each other. And there has to be a point where it just gets normal. And it's just like, your bits are out. Here they are. And that's that.
Right.
So, like, what are you going to do?
Absolutely nothing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you're not able to change it. So, just accept it.
Right.
That's how things become normal. Like, when people say that other things can't be done because that's not normal, mm-hmm. at some point, what is normal mm-hmm. wasn't normal.
That's so true. That's so true. Can you imagine us showing, talking to the Bridgerton girls at this point? Talk about fucking normal and be like, honey, let me teach you how to catch a wall. Like,
you know how to throw a bat.
Throw that ass in a circle.
Hey.
Queen Charlotte.
She could.
She totally could.
She would pick it up very quickly.
She gives off such a vibe. Like, I love her. I love her.
The casting was so good.
So good.
In the Queen Charlotte uh-huh. series.
Uh-huh. I want a season 2 of Queen Charlotte.
Me too.
Very badly.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we will get it. Okay. So the sound bath was great. Afterwards, we had dinner, and it was cooked by a private chef, a very special private chef who just so happens to be the chef for, somebody, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, David Beckham, and Simon Cowell.
Whoa.
Do you know who that is? You do?
Isn't he on
American Idol.
American Idol. Yeah. American Idol. Yeah.
That was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. So this guy was such a good chef. And his name is Chris. He was absolutely lovely. I kind of thought that us girls would get on his nerves because it's just like a bunch of girls like screaming and joking and, you know. But he played along and he was just such a nice guy. Oh, I recorded a podcast episode that night. Oh, let me just tell to my listeners, I apologize for the sound of last episode. I was recording it while I was laying in bed and I didn't realize that any movement on the bed would be picked up by the microphone. Oh well, we live and we learn. That was day one. On day two, we woke up, we did a little yoga. Okay, honestly, I was worried that it was going to be like a lot of exercise.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I'm not into the exercise, I just don't like forced exercise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because when you do it on your own of free will, it's like you kind of enjoy it.
Totally. Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I thought that the food was going to be like granola-y, and it was not. Honey, we ate. We ate so well.
What was your favorite meal?
The beef Wellington comes to mind because it was really good.
I really want to try that.
I can't remember any of the other meals. What was on the second day? I don't remember. But I'm going to go with the beef Wellington because that is what left a lasting impression.
I think that's the only one you sent me a picture of, too.
The beef Wellington?
Yeah.
Well, I sent you a picture of it because we were actually looking up
like
British dishes, and beef Wellington was one of them.
Yeah.
They did lots of British shit. Lots of British stuff.
Beans and toast.
Beans and toast. We had tea, though. Afternoon tea actually is lunch with tea. I would like to implement afternoon tea.
I'm for it. I love tea. And we were watching, I don't remember which Housewives it was, but someone was discouraging their son from drinking tea. And I was like,
"Oh, you're right. Oh, my God.
Brooks. I love tea.
We'll talk about that later. We'll get to that, too.
Okay.
It's on the list.
Okay.
So the yoga wasn't hard. It was like a lot of stretching and holding the stretch to the point that it made you uncomfortable. That was the theme of day one, being uncomfortable. So after that, we then went to a outdoor sauna that also had a cold plunge. Never done a cold plunge before, but I was fucking game.
Took it like a champ.
You know what? Yes, but I almost got out. I mentally committed to it beforehand, but when I got back, got in that fucking cold plunge, it was cold. My toes were cold. And I'm a little bitch when it comes to extreme coldness.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, my hands and my feet get cold. I'm like, it's over. We're done. I need hand warmers. Yeah. I need to stick my feet. When I lived in Starkville, Mississippi, when I was in college, it got much colder than I was ever used to.
Right.
And the old houses didn't have insulation. So my feet would get so cold, I would have to fill the bathtub up with hot water just to ice those babies off.
I hate the feeling when your toes are so cold and then you get in the hot shower and then they just hurt.
See, I like it. I'm like, make it hurt, huh?
It's a good pain.
It is a good pain. But so whenever that happened, I was like, so you went in with a partner. My partner was Helen. I love Helen. And I was like, I told myself, we're staying in for 3 minutes, right? Has all of these benefits of like helping you regulate your nervous system, help calm you down. Like, it's probably good for fucking everything. Your skin, your digestion, your anxiety.
Just wake up your immune system.
Everything. So 3 minutes was the time frame. We're doing it. And I'm like, oh my God, my toes. They're so cold. My toes are so cold. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be, I thought to myself, this is going to be embarrassing, but I think I'm going to have to get out. And I said that out loud. I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And thankfully I had the coaches there. They were coaching us through it. We were doing these specific breathing. Okay. And she was like, you have created a human. You can do this. And I'm like, I did. She's like, think about the hardest thing you've ever done. This is a cold bath. You can do this. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And obviously there gets to a point where it becomes relaxing, right? Yeah. That your body adjusts and it feels relaxing. And I could feel the calmness come over my shoulders and my body and everything. It was so cool. And we did it. I did it for the whole 3 minutes and I was very proud of myself and I would do it again.
Mind over matter,
and it truly, truly reinforces the like well-held idea that the real limitations in life are in your mind.
For real, your body can take you much farther than you think it can.
Absolutely. So we did some. We went back. Oh, there also was a sauna. There was an outdoor sauna.
I really want to visit a sauna. I haven't yet.
So it was great, but I didn't. So it was nice to have those two extremes. I can see why people do that. I'm going to try and do it the next time because I've always been to spas where they have it, but I've never done it.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't even know what to do, right? But I do now.
That's awesome. I might do it. I think there's a sauna on campus. So maybe I'll join your journey.
Okay, I love that. I also really love a steam room. Steam rooms are my shit. I will tell you, though.
What's the difference?
Huh?
Between a sauna and a steam room.
One is wet and one's hot. Like one's wet heat, steam,
yeah.
Where a sauna is hot heat, is dry heat.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize the difference. I don't know which one I have on campus, but they both sound great.
Most spas have both.
Yeah.
So we came back after that. We did some workshops. We had dinner. And then No, that wasn't when we had the big Wellington. And then we did a, like, kind of ceremony ritual thing of somatic breath work. It was life-changing, I would say. I had done it once before with a Reiki specialist here in Coral Gables. And it was good. And she told me at the beginning that people have visions. And so I was like, okay. But when I did it with her, I had no visions. There was no visuals at all. And I kind of was like, fuck, like I didn't get any of the visions.
Yeah.
But when I did it in the UK, I did. And I'm wondering if like, because in here in Coral Gables, there in the office, I could hear the street traffic. I could hear other things. And it really does take me out of it. But
yeah.
In the UK, we were in the countryside. There was music. There was, you know, it was guided. And, like, I mean, she guided me, too, here, but it was different. There were way... And all the women were doing it at the same time.
Right.
I got to tell you, that also feels... makes you more comfortable and, like, powerful. Like, you feel empowered having other people doing... Okay, so you're breathing. like the specific type of breathing the entire time. And then like you're screaming and everyone's screaming and then you're crying. It was just wild.
Sounds very cathartic.
It was so cathartic, and that's what they say. It's that people say that that kind of a treatment or that kind of a release helps trauma that is stored in the body get out of the body.
Yeah. It makes sense that, like, putting all of your being into your voice, just, like, the cleansing. Vibrations and sound.
It was totally cleansing, and I want to do it again. It was so wild to have visions in a non-drug induced state. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird to have that vivid. It almost felt like a lucid dream.
That's cool.
Yeah, it really did. So wild. So. Yeah, I'm very into it. I'm actually into more exploring more about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Can't wait to hear about it.
So fucking good. So the next day was actually July 4th, and we did extra British shit on July 4th. And I think it was intentional, and I liked it. I like the subtle pettiness. Yes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, Britain. So okay. Funny. Now you got us. Now let's do some British shit.
Yeah. Is that the day that you shot the gun?
Yes, it is. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So in the morning, wait, let me say this first. So July 4th is also coincidentally their election day.
Interesting.
Is that not interesting?
Yeah.
So they had a big election to for the prime minister, I guess, of parliament.
Okay.
Basically like the president.
Yeah.
And I was told the next day that the person who had been the... What's he called? What did I just call him?
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. The person who had been the Prime Minister for 14 years was... And it's a conservative Prime Minister, was beat by the Democratic Prime Minister candidate. So it was a big fucking deal,
yeah,
because 14 years is a long time.
It is.
And not one single person talked about it the next day. They don't talk about politics like that.
Oh, I wish.
They're not allowed to advertise politics over there.
That's better.
So I was like, she goes, you noticed, we were at breakfast this morning that I'm about to talk about, and she was like, Natalie was like, there was a major election yesterday, and the guy who's been in the office for 14 years is lost. So it's a big deal. She goes, but you notice not one single person's talking about it. Because that's just, we don't talk about the politics like that. And I'm like, damn, I wish it was like that.
Is it because of, like, politeness?
No, there's rules against campaigning openly.
Yeah, I just mean, like,
no one cares. No one cares.
Yeah.
The same way.
Wow. I like that.
I do too.
Because politics divide our country so much.
They do, and I think a lot of people who don't speak from a place of knowledge have really big voices.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and we will survive.
Yes, we will. And if it goes to shit, we'll move to the UK.
We'll move to the UK. I already have shit lined up if we need it.
Good.
Okay, so that morning we did a nature meditation walk. And the meditation that we were given was by this guy named Joe Dispenza. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so I had never heard of him either. But apparently... He is a guy who got into a very bad accident and he was in the hospital, and they say he literally healed his physical body with his thoughts.
Okay. Well, I like the sound of that.
I want to say he was paralyzed.
Oh, shit.
I haven't done a lot of research into him yet, but it's worth looking him up. Joe Dispenza.
Dispenza.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like dispensary.
Yeah. Exactly. So we did this nature walk to find your higher self. It was awesome. I fucking loved it. It was just beautiful to walk around. I saw a rabbit. Did I saw a deer? Not on the nature walk, but I did see a deer. There were crows. It was just so cool. You would have loved it. I mean, they just, all of the physical representations, like the jaguar. I pulled a card about a jaguar.
Yeah.
Like, it just, all of these physical representations that mean so much to us, they have significance.
Yeah. Didn't you also see an owl?
She talked about an owl and the significance and the wisdom of an owl. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is insane. This is insane. Okay. So, July 4th, a lot of British shit. Nature meditation walk. Then did we have lunch? We might have had lunch. Quick lunch. And then we went to shoot skeet with shotguns, which I have never in my life shot a gun. But what are the odds that on the 4th of July, I shoot my first gun in the UK?
It's pretty ironic.
Most people shoot their first guns in the US.
Yeah.
US is known for the guns.
Most definitely.
So, it was awesome. I didn't hit the target at first, but then I ended up making contact and then actually, like, really hitting it right on the money.
It split open.
Yeah, I have a video of it. I haven't posted that, actually. So, I will post that. I was really proud of myself, and it was fun. I will tell you, though, I fucked up my shoulder when I did it.
It was this one.
I think I was tense in a weird way that I didn't realize whenever it recoiled. So, like, what are you going to do? It was fine. I mean, it's another excuse to get a fucking massage. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then, after that, we went to a polo, I guess, place. What would you call that?
Arena?
A polo arena? Polo grounds? We went to polo grounds and we were taught how to play polo and how to hit the polo ball with the mallet while on the horse. And we were even hit the ball down the field and scored a goal. Now, I was being led by someone, so I wasn't really controlling the horse, but I was controlling the mallet and hitting that damn ball down the... And it was so fun. It was so fun. I was so sore the next day. I was using muscles that I had never used. And I was only on that horse maybe for 10 to 15 minutes.
Horseback riding is hard.
It is hard.
Yeah. You don't feel like you can walk after.
Well, I've only did it for a short while, but the next day I was like, oh my God, my ass.
Like riding seriously, like going on an hour and a half trail ride or something, you are sore for 3 days.
I totally believe that. So, we got back to the... We got back to the farm that we were staying at, where the retreat was, and I was kind of on the verge of feeling overstimulated because I am generally only by myself all the time, and I was around a lot of women for a good amount of time, not to mention all the travel. That's overstimulating. You know, all the interactions, that's more stimulus.
Complete strangers, too.
Correct. So... It's just a lot. So when we got back, we had like 20 minutes. And before we had to do something. Oh, we'd eaten dinner. We had 20 minutes before our next activity. And I went upstairs in my room. Thank God we had private rooms. And I filled up a bath and I just took a bubble bath. It was nice.
That's the way to
be. It almost was like a reset. No one was around me. I had, you know, no one talking to me.
Yeah.
It was nice.
You charge your battery.
Totally had to recharge my battery. And I'm so glad I did because the next activity was a spoof of the Great British Bake Off. And it was the Great Boss Babe Bake Off. That's the company who puts on the retreat. And we were making a Victoria sponge cake. And this is all on July 4th. All of these activities took place on one day. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I was on the gluten-free team, even though I'm not gluten-free, but I am a gluten-free ally. You know?
Yeah.
I just like to ride hard for my gluten-free bitches.
Right.
The name of our team was GFF, gluten fucking free.
That's cute.
I came up with it. I like competition a lot. I thrive in a competitive setting, but this time was different because I was like chill competitive. Like, I actually didn't care about winning. I just wanted to have fun, and I really did.
Yeah.
My team was joking around the whole time. I was twerking while I was cooking. Okay, let me tell you, those ladies cannot twerk. Oh. I expected to have a fellow twerking sister to join in, but no one did. There were attempts, but no execution. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn in the future.
Are most of them British?
There was a good mix of American and abroad. I would say the majority of people were not American.
Where were most people from?
UK. UK, I would say. Because okay. UK is made up of, like, 4 or 5 countries.
Yeah.
I don't want to show my lack of knowledge in geography, even though I'm, like, raving about the UK. You know, like, how many countries are in the UK?
Well, isn't it, like, a controversy, too?
I do think there's a part of Ireland that doesn't want to be in the UK and is not in the UK. So there's a part of Ireland that is in the UK and a part of Ireland that is not in the UK.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it was okay that no one was twerking because it was all about having fun. And I was kind of surprised, but not surprised, that my team won. So our cake tasted awesome despite it being gluten fucking free. We also were told that we brought the vibes.
Yeah.
We brought the vibes. And we also helped the other teams despite the heavy competition, which prompted some people to hide utensils, necessary utensils for cooking.
Oh, shit.
But when someone asked where the sifter was, I had it, and I just gave it to them.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good sportsmanship.
Thank you. Old sport. Okay, so after that, we had this, like, feminine energy ceremony, which was almost like a prayer circle. It was so good. One, it was a long fucking day. Another thing that I kind of came away, there were many things I came away with from that trip, but one thing that I came away with from that trip was that I have mainly been leaning into my, like, masculine energy, and that I need to be in my feminine energy. And I don't really know what that means, but I was recommended some books, so okay. I need to read them and stay fucking tuned. Okay, so on the last day we parted ways, it was sad, but I was going back to London for 3 nights, which was so fucking awesome. I did have a little trouble getting, like, from the train to my hotel, though. Like, I got the train from Cheltenham to London, fine. Then I switched to the correct train to go to the Covent Gardens where I was staying. What I didn't was lower and lower, lower trains. So it means you have to go lower underground. What I didn't realize was that there are not elevators or escalators at every train station. Mm-hmm. And so the train station that I got off on did not have them. And I had to carry all of my luggage by hand upstairs. I want to say 3. It might have been 4. Ugh,
that sounds terrible.
I was huffing and fucking puffing. but the thing I was like, all right, you can do this. I was having pep talks with myself. I'm like, okay, you can do this. I mean, I was mustering up all of the strength that I had to get to the top. I was sweating. And when I got to the top, I had to catch my breath. I was like, and it was kind of cold, but I had, like, my shirt off, and I had just my tank top on underneath. Yeah. I was so hot. I had no fucking idea where I was going. I had no Wi-Fi, no directions. I asked a guy, like, on the corner, like, a little bodega. I was, like, asked him where Covent Gardens was, and he was like, it's that way. And I just started walking. I'm like, still can't find it. It starts raining. So I'm like, I'm just going to get under a tree. And I was like, you know, the rain kind of feels good because I'm hot as fuck.
Yeah. I'm glad you can make the best out of that.
Totally. Thank goodness there was little maps like at the bike lock stations, because I looked and I could go down to the key of the street I was staying in, and I could do like the legend of like B3, yes. And I could find where the street was, and I found it, and I was like, I'm like, okay, trying to look on my map, even though it's like not loading because it's, I have no service. And then I'm like trying to go, I'm like, I gotta be really close. And so then I'm like, I'm just gonna fucking ask someone. So I stopped someone. I was like, hey, do you know where the Henrietta Hotel is on Henrietta Street? And she was like, oh, yes. And she was American. She was like, and she pointed to her friend or her partner or whatever. She's like, we stayed there for something. It's just down this way. I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So I finally make it there. I was so fucking proud of myself for finding my way without a phone.
Good for you.
Also, without freaking out. I did not freak out at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure the 4-day life-changing retreat, like, really helped with my emotional regulation. But I'm still proud of myself nonetheless.
It's gross.
So, my room wasn't ready, so I stored my luggage and went and ate sushi at the next door. And it was a place called Sticks and Sushi. Much to my surprise, they had sushi with cream cheese.
Oh, my Lord. How did it compare?
It was pretty fucking good. I've been on the search for sushi with cream cheese for some time. I know there are some people out there who don't like it. I understand. I respect your opinion, but I love it. It's so, so good. And in fact, I almost exclusively seek out sushi with cream cheese. And I know you feel the same way.
I do. We feel very similarly on the subject.
I don't think it's normal, though, for an upscale, like, sushi place to have, or an authentic sushi place to have cream cheese, but it doesn't change the fact that I love the fuck out of sushi with cream cheese.
Me too. Anything with cream cheese, honestly. Give it to me.
You bet your ass I ordered sushi with cream cheese at Sushi and Sticks, got to my room, and decided to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. See, it's so nice being by yourself, because you do whatever the fuck you want. And previously, with other people, I feel like you'd be like, you're in London. You have to do so many fun things. There's so much to do. You'll sleep when you're dead. Okay, but I'm tired now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I didn't sleep well at the retreat. Not because of the retreat, but because I was so stimulated and so excited and so inspired and motivated.
It was so many new things.
Very hard to shut off my brain at night. And the time difference.
Yeah.
It's like I was... Oh, and the fact that it doesn't get dark until like 10.
Yeah, that's gotta throw you off.
And then at 4 a.m. it's bright outside.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's... Do they have blackout curtains?
We didn't need it because all the activities started in the morning.
Oh.
It wasn't like bright. It would be like this right now.
Oh, okay.
It's not bright, but the sun's out.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would need blackout curtains.
That's good.
It was weird, though. So then I'm like, oh, my God, how long is the sun going to stay out? And so, because I had, like, cool windows outside on my room. It was crazy. But staying in London was cool. I slept a lot when I got there. And the Euros were on, and I was like, I'm just going to order room service and drink wine and watch the Euros. And I had a great fucking time by myself doing that. In a robe and slippers at the Henrietta Hotel in Covent Gardens. It was so lovely. So when I went to Vegas with Bo, he said something like, I don't want to stay in the room the whole time. And I think to myself, I actually could stay in the room the entire fucking time. I could stay in the room the entire fucking time and be great. I mean, I always get nice rooms. Yes. So room service is awesome.
It is. We used that a lot in Jamaica.
We did. And I don't know. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Something about it.
And I was really proud of myself for leaning into that I was going to be indulging in my room instead of going out because I needed the rest.
You need to take care of yourself first.
100%. What else did I do? I also went to dinner with some ladies from the retreat. So fun. Then we went clubbing. Had a few gentlemen shoot their shot. It was fun. Had a great fucking time.
Yay.
What did I do the next day? Oh, the next day I just chilled in my room most of the day. I was so tired. I was so hungover. I stayed out till 3 a.m.
Wow.
I am such a wild person. And so I slept in for sure. And I almost, I think I watched like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I think I watched Rocket Man.
Ugh, or maybe that so was, good.
And I also watched Notting Hill. Have you ever seen Notting Hill?
I have not.
Classic rom-com.
Oh, okay.
It's Julia Roberts, Hugh Grant. It is about, you know, a famous woman and this like bookshop owner, and they kind of like hit it off and all the complications ensue, but they really like each other, and it's just really, really good.
Classic.
Tale as old as fucking time. So the last day, I really just like chill in bed, and then I go to this Italian restaurant and have dinner. It was so lovely. Such a great time. I love having dinner by myself. You just get a couple of drinks, you vibe, it's so fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, let me tell you, the UK food and drink is superior. I don't know what they do to it, I don't know what's going on, but I came back thinner, and but I ate way, 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 way more. So I don't even understand. It's defying science to me. Defying all physics. But I had a great fucking time. I mean, everyone was just so nice. And I had a really preconceived idea that people weren't going to be nice to me.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised to hear you say how many compliments you were receiving from strangers.
I know. Okay, that is a wrap for part one of this episode. Please join us for part two, and we will catch you motherfuckers on the flip side.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.